scared of him.
Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
And welcome to another episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. My name is Steve. I am one of your hosts this evening.
This is Nicole.
And this is Kevin.
And I'm social media violator Peter Leonard.
We have a special guest with us tonight. I think this is your first time with the show, right?
Yep, this is the first night.
All right. Well, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know, why is it telling me my computer's running slow? Isn't that an insult? Do I make fun of you?
I think your computer is teasing you because you did violate some social protocol this week.
I know. Dear God, it's horrible outside.
Yeah, we're getting hit by a blizzard, and we are, like, in the middle of it. But we're still doing the show, and that shows you how dedicated we are. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. If anybody's out there listening, we thank you for choosing us over the State of the Union in the upcoming hour. So,
who the hell wants to listen to that?
I know. We got Paranormal Investigator Radio.
I know.
The phone lines are open.
With social media violator Pete.
Rebel.
1-888-429-5471. The phone line is open. And as always, since we no longer give praise to that other location, let us thank BBS Radio, your star.
Terry Clark.
Your source for good programming and independent music. Sorry.
That's okay. So, Nicole, what do you got for us tonight?
Well, the first thing I saw this the other day. Did anybody hear about the mysterious booms felt across the U.S.?
No.
Nope, didn't hear anything about
that. You didn't hear anything about that?
Yes, we debunked that years ago.
This just happened. January 10th.
It happens in the winter. It's a phenomena with the ice.
Is it? It's heard across multiple states?
Yeah, I can try finding it. It's on the Facebook page. It's something to do with the magnetic, I don't know. There's actually an explanation for it. It was on like a NASA page or something. The government never lies. If you work for the government, 1-888-429-5471. We
frost
want to hear
quake.
About it. Yes.
A frost quake.
Something like that, yeah.
And that causes the booms? I didn't know that. Okay, that's news to me.
It's like those mysterious noises they hear in the water there. It's that one particular fish during mating season, which scares everybody in that one village. I think it's somewhere in California. I'm looking at Steve because Steve's from California.
Well,
or did a little bit of California.
Yeah, well, I've never heard of it. And I pretty much grew up in Southern California, so
it's almost like the old mysterious hum that people hear throughout the world. It's only certain people pick up on it, and they're not sure where it comes from. It's a really low bass that they're hearing all the time.
They're hearing hard.
It's a possibility.
They might have that deployed. No, a couple years back, we were actually getting phone calls about that. People up towards Watertown area.
Mm-hmm.
They were experiencing those weird booms. So we did a little digging into that, and David found something, and then we found a little something more. But
interesting. I'll have to do some more research on that. I wasn't quite sure what that was.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, like, shoot you down.
No, that's
no,
okay.
But that is a valid.
No, I didn't know.
That's
it's
what
mysterious.
Being a skeptic's all about.
Sorry.
Exactly.
I feel bad now because that was like 10 minutes of our show.
Right. Now what are we going to talk about?
No, but that brings up, like, a point. Like, David will find information. Like, we did a show in the summer, if you remember that. It was about the, the 10-foot-tall skeletons they found in the American Midwest? And it was, like, a Smithsonian website. But then when we went back the next day to go print everything, the website was taken down. It's like, did we do that? Did little old Paranormal Investigator Radio do that?
Maybe so.
It's your fault, isn't it, Steve?
I think so. I'll take the blame. What the heck?
You really never heard of the fish thing? I think that goes along with the hum.
It might. I don't know. The last that I knew for the hum, it was more in like the 90s and stuff like that. They talked about it a lot in like Unsolved Mysteries, things like that. Kind of attributed it starting right around the same time as around like World War II, when they're really starting to use like the underground radars and stuff like that, but like submarines, things like that.
So that leads us into Nicole's next topic, since you brought up... Oh my God, what is wrong with me? I shouldn't have hit that donut before I came here. Paranormal investigators oversaturating television, according to CNN.
Was this great CNN? CNN article that was I read yesterday. It's called Ghost Hunters Haunted by New Terror Competition. And it headlines, you know who, with from one show. The, I don't know if I want to say his name on the radio.
No.
No, it's probably pretty good.
We don't have our insurance policy.
Yeah, we better keep that quiet.
It's good that you don't, yes. You know who from a show is pretty good.
Yeah.
I like that.
That would be the Medigan who does sue us. So.
A paranormal investigator from a show headlines this article, and I don't want to voice on how I feel about the article, but I mean, some of the stuff they touch on in the article is accurate, but this person's actually bad, you know, talking about paranormal unity. Paranormal unity. But he's in turn flipping it around and bashing another team.
I see, yeah.
You know, so I don't know how I feel about that.
We've had our experience with Paranormal Unity, and yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. Now, Nicole's got everybody fumbling for their computers going to try to find it on CNN.com, right?
Oh, please do. Please do.
Oh, the paranormal unit. This came up at our meeting yesterday. It's always the turd in the punch bowl in the world of the paranormal. Mm-hmm. Para-unity, or para-community, as some people like to refer to it. It's, and we did have almost like a heated debate again yesterday, and it just shows you on our own team that we can't get past the... Like, my thoughts are, we're going to do our thing. We know what we're doing, you should follow us, but I'm not going to follow you because you don't know what you're doing. We know what we're doing, so follow us.
I think
that's pretty much the gist of the community.
I think it's that the competition is so heavy is because all groups want to be the next TAPS, or then all the groups want to be the next big thing on TV to be on TV, and that's not really what it's about. What it's about is helping people, you know. You have somebody calling you, and I used to be the case manager. And what am I going to do? What am I to do? You know, and that's what it's about. You help people.
No.
Wait a minute. Let me finish that. Would it be nice to be on TV? Well, sure it would. I'm not saying it wouldn't, but it's not what you're doing it for.
Yeah. Look, I totally understand what you're saying. You know, it's I want to be as famous as much as the next guy does.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, who doesn't? But at the same time, we're out there doing these investigations, as you said, to help people. Mm-hmm. The best way to help people is to get evidence that works alongside another piece of evidence.
Yeah.
So, like, I brought this up in our meeting yesterday, and, you know, it's a big thing. If you have a piece of evidence and, you know, another group ends up going in and gets basically the same exact type of evidence, that's something to look into. And I think that's where para-unity really needs to start coming into play. In that we can say, we got this evidence, they got that evidence. It'd be, you know, something that we can say together, yes, our evidence matched up because it's great for the field. We're trying to prove something that is very, very hard to prove.
But unfortunately, a lot of groups don't feel that way and don't see it that way, is if you even get the same evidence, that your evidence is wrong and ours is right. But, you know,
unfortunately, that's exactly how it works out there.
Can I twist this back at all three of you?
Sure, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it hard to prove? Isn't it easy? It's happening. Do you know what I'm saying? We spend all our time trying to disprove it. Why aren't we trying to prove it? You know where I'm going with that? Like these shows spend an entire hour trying to make me believe it's pipes. But if I'm living with this thing and it's happening, I know it's happening. You could tell me it's pipes all you want, but I know it's happening. And this sort of going along with what you're saying. If you call in a different group to your house, five groups to your house, all five of them at some point should be getting similar or identical, I don't want to use the word evidence, we hate the word evidence, but findings.
I don't know.
Cricket.
Yeah.
And how about this? What if five groups go in and investigate, four really don't get anything, but that one group all of a sudden gets a spike in activity? What are we, you know?
You really got to look at it almost from a scientific point of view. If mm-hmm. five scientists are working on something and only one gets something, you can't say that's solid.
Mm-hmm. It just goes to show, too, that people call us in their home and they say, this is going on. As Pete says, you know, they tell us the candles are flying through the air and the dog is flying through the air. And we go there that night and nothing happens. And that's just the way it all works out sometimes.
I mean, unfortunately, I used to joke with these guys all the time. It's like, why would you spend tens of thousands of dollars in equipment, spending hour after hour after hour of your weekend in the dark to tell people that it's dust or creaking floorboard? It's like you really don't have anything better to do with your life, that you have to spend all this money and time just to disprove
right.
this, to ruin it for people who actually believe it. I understand that that's part of what you're doing. Yeah. You need to be objective about it. But to me, like, there was a group out there that was specifically all they did. They just attacked every other group. I don't think they ever went and investigated once ever in their entire life, but they just went there and attacked everybody they could. Like, your evidence is crap. Your evidence is sort of like James, what, I won't say his name, that almost came out. The guy who's offering the reward to prove paranormal. $1 million, we're still trying for that one.
Either that or the capture of the Bigfoot for $5 or $8 million or what it is, right?
There's that much? I'll go find one of them.
Yeah, isn't that one group offering $5 or $8 million for the evidence of Bigfoot, a body or something like that? I can't remember.
Tell you what, if I win the Powerball, I'll go and look at, you know, just so I can get that $8 million.
If I win the Powerball Saturday, I'm getting on my own private jet to Hawaii and leaving that out there.
I'll just get skis on the front of the truck and tracks on the back. I don't care.
Well, there you go. There you go. But like I said, it just goes to show that no matter what you do, you know, you go into a home or go into a place and it just flatlines, you don't get nothing. And everybody says, oh, we got this. And then you tell everybody and you tell the homeowner or what have you, well, this is what we found in your home. These pictures that you've taken of all these little orbs are not orbs. They're dust particles. And then, of course, we get the one person that you probably know who I'm going to talk about, that I won't mention their name. And we tell the person, it's just dust and it's orbs all over the place.
One of my most fascinating investigations with Steve, how much of this can I reveal? Because I don't want to make the person sound incredible. But it was a house that was sort of state property that we were invited into. It was a person who had problems. And she kept saying something was coming through the mirror at night. So she had like salt laid out in front of the mirror. And basically it was one bedroom. It wasn't even an apartment. It was like a shared, but it was one apartment.
This is a leprechaun lady.
Okay. Yeah, so talking about that, it's like she said, and there's no phrase I hate to hear than, I want to show you a picture on my cell phone. It's like, oh God, here it comes. It's going to be an orb or something.
We kind of look at each other like, oh, okay, show us your picture. She says, it looks like two leprechauns fighting. So she shows us this picture, and swear to God, it looks like two leprechauns fighting.
I'm just holding the phone there, you know, with that first look like, oh, Jesus, get this over with. And then I'm like, holy crap, it looks like the Fighting Irishman leprechaun fighting with another leprechaun. I'm like, then she's like, okay, this was taken at this state park, and this is an angel and something else. And it's like, oh, my God, that looks like an angel in this thing. And she showed us like 8 pictures, and I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't. I'm pretty sure nothing's coming through the mirror, but whatever your phone's doing,
keep going.
Oh my God!
It literally was like two leprechauns like this. You know, like they had the stance, and it's like
they weren't edited pictures or anything.
No.
He showed me because I seen him look at it, and then he shows me. I'm like, you know, and I'm looking at it. Get out of here! You know, it was really really peculiar, but yeah. And she lived in this one-room apartment, and she actually wanted us to go do an investigation in a one-room apartment.
Well, we helped her through that.
A long investigation, though.
That's right, folks. We will go anywhere. Half a room, full room, whole house, trailer, industrial building. Mm-hmm. All you can eat buffet, we're there.
Horse stable. But been there, done that.
Horse stable, yeah. Yep, yep.
That's September.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go anywhere, anytime.
And if you're going to check out our new presentation series, we will have that video footage in there, Nicole.
Nice.
Of the door opening.
And closing on command.
What door opening is?
At the horse house.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah. That was one where we were a little bit suspicious when she sent us a video of a so-called orb over mm-hmm. Facebook. Mm-hmm. So we all looked at it and we're, you know, here we go, orbs.
Orb pictures, yeah.
However, when we did the consult, when me and Mike went, we did confirm that she visually saw this orb. It wasn't something, you know, it was something that it was a ball of light. Mm-hmm. She described it. So when we did the investigation, the orb was going like around and through that door.
Mm-hmm.
That's the door that had the activity where the door opened and shut pretty much on command. And I think Larry hung a bell on the door and it slammed so hard, no wind, and it went, and the, you know, you hear the bell ringing.
Is that our cowbell?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Very good evidence. So.
More cowbell.
The one I said we should use more of?
But more cowbell.
Yeah, more cowbell.
Larry loves that bell. He uses it every time we go on an investigation. So.
See, Kevin, Steve and I were asked not to go on investigations anymore because the one before that, we like literally lost it on the team and screamed at people to shut the hell up. It's like we're upstairs and we could physically hear the gentleman who'd passed away. It was a younger guy, a little probably our age. In the snowmobiling accident, he was walking in the room and we're standing like maybe 20 feet away. You can hear him walking. You could see the shadow and they're all downstairs like in the kitchen under there and they're all partying and talking and we're trying to record the walking. So finally we just pick up the walkie-talkie and I'm like, where are you for the love of God? Shut the hell up!
That's the one Mike and Larry left.
I felt bad.
And then the sound stopped and it's like, of course it did. Of course it did. Also, we had the thermal camera trained on it, recording the whole time we were there. Remember that gigantic white flash out of nowhere
yep.
that came right in front of the thing? We're ready. Oh my God, go check the DVR, freeze the time. Well, yeah, the DVR has been resetting now for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, son of a mother.
Yeah.
Ah! I don't know if you've had that happen, but it seems every time there's something good, nothing works.
I've never actually had something that good happen on me and have like equipment fail. My previous history with paranormal investigating, I never really used a lot of fancy stuff. I never had a DVR, never had the thermal. I did, you know, all the mm-hmm. older ways. I just walked mm-hmm. around with a voice recorder. I had a digital camera.
Mm-hmm.
I had a thermal detector.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much it. I had an EMF detector and that was like the extent of my actual mm-hmm. ghost equipment.
But it does. It seems like every time that we think we catch something really fabulous, like the door in Moravia opening on me, the camera quit working. We have some technical difficulty.
Yeah, people are saying they can't hear us. I got the application up. It's dead air.
Who's saying they can't hear us?
Couple people have texted in that there's just dead air. I got the station up on the iPhone. It's dead air.
You mean there's actually a couple people listening to this?
Is it Dave?
Well, I guess you'll listen to us on the rebroadcast. But
really, it's dead air. Huh. Well, Don heard us.
Yeah.
Don or his brother.
Can you message him to see if he can hear us?
We're experiencing technical difficulties. Ease.
If anyone can hear us.
If anyone can hear us, please give us a call at
1-888-429-5471. We got green lights from ground control. Oh, you know what it is? That's right. They switched the website. The link for our show. It's now bbsradio.com/paranormalinvestigatorradio. Before it used to just be Paranormal Investigators.
I see. So that's why they can't hear us.
Okay,
folks, that's what you got to do.
So I should update that on Facebook eventually.
Yeah.
So 1-888-429-5471 if you've had an equipment malfunction, or if you'd like to donate us $15 million.
So we're let me go back to the House of Moravia. We go to this place in Moravia. It's a huge house. A lot of things happened that night, and we'll go into it. I can go into that later with you. But this one, we're all downstairs, and Pete and Alex were sitting on us, just sat down against one wall. I was going to sit right behind the door. And as I was, you know, sliding down the wall to sit behind the door, somebody just told me, you know, maybe I shouldn't sit behind the door. And as I was standing back up, Alex said the same thing. So all of a sudden, I'm seeing Pete go like this, you know. And I looked at Pete, and I says to Pete, I says, "Don't you screw with me, Pete." And as he's doing that, the door's just slowly opening. And what's really peculiar about these doors, they're heavy. This is an old house. They're heavy. They're the latch doors, so you got to up the latch and push it in. And then when you push it in, it makes all kinds of noise. This was just slowly opening by itself.
Wow.
No noise. And it was like, yes, we got this on the DVR. No, the DVR burned out. Or something happened.
The whole time I'm sitting there, I'm like, please touch him. Please touch him. He's going to jump up and scream. I'm like, please touch him.
And I turned around and seen the door open, and it looked like, when did this door just shut?
See, Nicole was actually spared from this one because before we went on that investigation, we visited the Buffalo Wild Wings for the first time in my life, and I didn't actually know that shaved steak is a potential topping on a cheeseburger. So that, along with the chili, the bacon, the fried egg, the jalapenos, and the whatever it was, triple atomic sauce, finally caught up with me at one point in the house.
Evening.
I had a little gas, I won't lie. I let one rip, and I swear to God, there were like four of them there. They heard a groan come from nowhere, like, and I'm like, they're like, was that you? I swear to God, that wasn't me. I'm like, I just upset something with that fart. But that's right, ladies and gentlemen, shaved steak is a hamburger topping. How the hell can you not get shaved steak?
Let's speak about Buffalo Wild Wings for a minute. You know they're going into Sears in
yes.
Harper, right?
And Texas Roadhouse.
Yes.
They're going to go into
across the street,
right? Are also a place.
Oh, God, yes.
We're finally getting some better big box restaurants.
Sears.
You know where the Sears closed in New Hartford? At Sangertown Mall.
Oh, it's going in there?
It's Buffalo Wild Wings and Texas Roadhouse going right across the street, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We were next door to the Party City. And,
you know, being Italian, I'm sorry, I don't get excited over the Olive Garden.
No, that's not Italian food. Let's
when I get the trots like from eating your macaroni, they're not.
I took Brian for...
I know it's called Il Trattoria, but you know, you don't have to be literal with that.
I took Brian for his birthday a couple years ago, and I paid for everybody. It was like 10 people, and probably half the table got food poisoning.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, we were out of work for about 4 days. It was horrible. I felt bad.
I'm going to date myself here. Do any of you remember the Orange Julius at Riverside Mall? We actually got freaking food poisoning there, the whole family.
We had those in San Diego, too. Doran Julius's, loved them. They were great.
Oh, my God. That was the first time I've ever had my stomach pumped.
It's horrible. Food poisoning.
You know, I've got to tell you, all the weird things I've eaten in all the restaurants I've been to, never had food poisoning. Never.
We can hook that up for you.
No, I'm sure you could. But let's not do that.
A little botulin never killed anybody. That's paranormal. 1-888-429-5471. If you've just seen Bigfoot in the impending northeastern storm, call us. If you are Bigfoot, call us. If you have psychic abilities and you want to test it and become the next well-known psychic, please call up and give us the winning Powerball numbers. We will maybe share a portion of it with you.
$5.
But think of the fame you'll have in making us billionaires.
I want to bring up a subject that's only because we're in Whitesboro. If the world of the paranormal knows about the whole Whitesboro controversy right now.
I'm sorry. If I knew Comedy Central was here yesterday filming, I wouldn't have been at our team meeting.
I don't know if anybody saw this.
Oh, I seen that on Facebook, yeah.
The edited version?
I'm the one who started that, but yes, I see the one with Larry. And
yeah. I messaged Larry after our meeting yesterday, and I said, get to Whitesboro, Comedy Central's there.
I wish I knew. I would have been there. I would have lived it up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not right for the police to have that on the patch. You're trying to welcome people from out of town, and that this is the hospitality? You just ask me a question, I'm going to choke you out?
That's
welcome to Whitesboro.
That's on the police badge, really, on the badge?
Yeah.
It's on the car doors, everything.
Oh,
really?
It is?
Yeah.
It's right outside the police building. I took the picture of it. I'm the one who started that.
They voted for it. They did, yeah.
They preserved it. They kept it in.
I understand the history behind it. For those of you that don't understand what's going on here, it's basically a white settler in a grasp of friendship with the Native American. Although the Native American looks like he's falling to the ground, to me it looks like the choke-a-bitch. I mean, basically that's what it is. It's like he's choking him by the neck and he's...
Maybe.
Like I said, the only thing missing is the pregnant lady next to him getting kicked in the head and like a baby being thrown in a ravine. But that would be the only thing to make it a little more insulting, but...
Why don't they redesign that picture? Because it actually does look like it.
I think it was just bad artistic ability.
Part of the history of Whitesboro is that they met as friends, and back then, I guess, that they wrestled. That was their way of...
Basically, the original founder of Whitesboro...
Hugh White,
yes. He had a friendly wrestling match with the local Oneida tribe.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up winning the match, and in turn winning the respect and friendship of the tribe.
I see.
So they wanted to depict that in their seal. I mean, this seal's been around actually for over 50, almost 100 years, I thought. It's like 1903 or something they posted that.
Really?
I think they said 132 years today, so wherever that'll bring you back to, like 1880s?
Yeah, something like, yeah, it's been around for a while, just, you know, with today's day and age.
Yeah. That's only thing with it being on a police patch. I love the history. I mean, look at who you're talking to about history. I love the history right behind it. But, you know, it was actually on one of the local radio stations driving into work this morning. I'm listening. They're like, you know, we're future ambassadors of this, like, billion-dollar nanotech industry that's coming up here. They're like, do you really want people to avoid your town or mark your town as unfriendly based on a city seal? Or I understand that it should remain on city documents, as you rant, but like the police and public service, I can understand they need to be a little more sensitive because not everybody out there is intelligent, as you can see just by watching the normal news at night. No offense, but you know, everything bothers everybody.
Yeah.
I was actually told that I didn't know this. You know, there's like special rooms now in schools for children that hear negative things that they can go in and sit in there to clear their mind.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Really?
That was called ISS when I was in school.
For me, it was called Ultimate Dodgeball, and I get hit in the head with a frisbee. But,
did you see the responses online from this whole Whitesboro thing? Because there's websites posting about it, posting about Comedy Central being here and the logo, because the majority of the people in this country thought this was a joke until they found out it was real. So now what's going on the internet is everybody that lives in Whitesboro is a bunch of racist inbreds.
Dear God, what about Blackman's Corners? No. We need to stop that.
I know. I don't know. But they don't know the history.
The thing was, too, they said that Comedy Central, if they voted for one of the logos, that they actually had like six logos mm-hmm. up or something yesterday. Three of them were like absurd.
Yeah,
like they specifically designed. Like one, I believe, had the hockey star Rob Esch all over it.
Yeah. Three pictures of Rob Esch just posted in the center of it.
But they said they would pay for it. They would put it on all the city village, all the village vehicles, all the fire trucks, the police trucks. So, I mean, it was a legitimate thing that they were willing to. But like I told you last night, what's going to happen, they're going to get sued now. They're going to spend millions of dollars in a stupid lawsuit. They're going to lose, and they're still going to have to change the seal instead of just...
Should have went with it?
Here's the historic legal seal. Here's the public service seal.
Well, last night wasn't official. I guess last night wasn't the binding vote. This was just to get the idea from the public. Tonight, I guess, was the town board was going to meet and talk about it. So,
how many people showed up? Do you know how many people showed up yesterday?
Yeah,
there was only like 215 out of 1,900 voters.
Yeah.
215 people showed up, yeah. It's about right.
So that's paranormal in itself.
That's right.
We're slowly devolving into three angry guys and a girl.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wait. Oh, my God. I said girl. Don't sue me, Nicole. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. You have to be politically correct all the time.
I know, having been on the college scene, and I won't even ask you to comment, Kevin, but I don't think I could be on campus now, just like when we were doing the lecture series, like looking at some of the stuff that's on professors' doors, and it's like I have to bite my tongue and remain neutral. But it's like, how do you even portray the paranormal neutrally to people that you're worried that someone's going to be offended?
It's a very difficult situation to be on a college campus nowadays. We've seen that, you know, just looking at Hamilton College with they're calling up to arms about, you know, they want special places to meet and stuff like that. They don't want to be bothered. And if it's offensive, they want to be in a bubble. And it's really hard. I mean, when it comes to the paranormal, you can't tell them one thing and be like, oh, my God. I mean, it's just a very difficult situation now.
Like I told Steve, there was one, I'm not going to mention the college we were at, but we were like walking through with the professors, have their offices because we were waiting for the to go ahead for the presentation. I'm looking at like this poster on this one history teacher's door, a lady, and she's like, are Syrian refugees more important than U.S. soldiers? Yes. And it's like, okay, I almost want to wait till Monday, come here and like tell you off. But that's, I know this has nothing to do with the paranormal folks, but it's just a shame.
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Well, you were at a paranormal lecture, so kind of.
But that'll eventually drive even our field. And it's like we probably won't be able to talk about half of what we're talking about now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, we had that one racist ghost. Do you remember that? Were you in the group at that point?
No.
It was one out of Utica. The guy's like, I don't care about the white kid. The white kid can stay here. But that black ghost, he's got to go, and I want him out of the house now. And it's like, okay. The funny thing was the house was next to the fire department. So we're unloading all this equipment. One of the guys called me over. They're like, are you for real? And we're like, yeah. They're like, what do you think's going on in there? I'm like, pretty sure the faulty wiring has something. They're like, yeah. They're like, we're just waiting for the day the house touches off and takes the fire station with it. I'm like, that's good.
Oh, that's just great.
It was one of those, you walk in the room, the digital Gauss meter maxed out. I mean, I've never seen a Gauss meter max. It's just like error. The guy had brain tumors. They were seeing stuff. It's like the clock radio near the bed maxed it out. They're sleeping underneath the ceiling fan maxed it out. It's like then you go up in the attic. Mark and David went up in the attic. It was all unshielded wire with pigeon poop everywhere. And they're like in the 500-600 range on the meters. It's like. Actually, your cousin there, Nicole, she got sick as soon as she walked in she's like, I can't stay in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that would explain why you're seeing things.
Really good points about like old houses and things like that. If the electrical hasn't been upgraded, if the furnace hasn't been upgraded, things of that nature, there's a lot of times where paranormal, you know, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
things have occurred. And it's really not paranormal. It's coming from the energy in the air. There's been numerous instances where people don't upgrade their furnace and they end up getting CO poisoning. And one of the things of CO poisoning is you actually can hallucinate.
Well, the thing is before I got into this, doing paranormal investigating, I didn't know EMF could do that to you. I had no idea. But as I get with the group and Pete and everybody, oh yeah, it can really have a profound effect on you. If you got high EMF in your house like that, it can, you, like he says, you get brain tumors or at the very least, hallucinate, loss of sleep, think people are staring at you. And I never knew this. And I'm sure that the average householder don't realize this either.
Oh, really? No, I mean, I went on a case before. I went for a consult, and we ended up not doing a investigation because I went in the house, and this woman claimed some fantastical things happening in the house. She saw her grandson fly against the wall and kind of get pulled up the wall. After talking with the grandson, who was 6 years old, 7 years old, he said, nah, that never happened. You know, this and that. But she was still complaining about having headaches in one corner of her room, and she thinks it has to do with a ghost and things like that. I went down in the basement, and you know, it was that old conduit. It's like the old metal conduit with the cardboard inside wrapped around the wires. And that's what you get, especially in historic districts of cities and towns. I mean, mm-hmm. There's a lot of houses that don't get upgraded like that.
That's actually what we told the fire department. We're like, we want to tell the city codes to come tag this building for their safety. I'm like, not even the fire thing. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I should be telling you this. I'm like, but the guy in there's got brain tumors. I'm like, pretty sure it's from the house because he was only like 28. And it's like,
oh my God,
how long have you lived here? 10 years? I'm like, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to tell you that. See, now you just made me contradict my own thing where I said about debunking. But yeah, one of the things we used to do, like if we were going to set up in a basement or anything, I always used to bring one of those plug-in carbon monoxide detectors. I think we left it somewhere.
We lived it
as far. But it's not a bad investment. I mean, even if you don't get a plug-in one, you can actually get like a little portable one you can put on a keychain. They're kind of expensive. They're over $100. But, I mean, the batteries last for a year. They run all year long. And you walk into a house, and if there's carbon monoxide in the house, it's going to go off. I mean, I run with the fire department, and we keep them right on our EMS bags. So if we go into a house, you know, we put it down on the ground. If it goes off, there's carbon monoxide.
Right. So have you done any rescue calls?
Like, what kind of rescue calls are you talking about?
Has anybody claimed they've seen anything, like, on the brink or come back? Or, I'm just interested. Like, has anybody had, like, the near-death experience and related it to you? Or
I haven't heard a personal story. I mean, I've looked into, you know, accounts of it. There's a lot of times, it's not really like the movies when, you know, we go on these calls and stuff. Like, when we do CPR, we shock somebody. They don't wake right up and start talking to you. It's a very different situation. There have been very limited accounts of people doing that, but you know, nothing that I've actually seen.
And in case you didn't know, when you do CPR, people may throw up on you, just so you know.
Really?
Yes, that's happened.
They don't teach you that in CPR class when you take the American Red Cross.
I've never seen that on Emergency.
You're at there aspirating.
I never seen Johnny Gage get throw up on him.
a lot of times if you're doing that, it means you're doing bad CPR because you don't have the head positioned right, so you're actually blowing down the wrong tube.
Are you talking?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a good thing.
That's
two
why,
blows.
That's why we have the mask now with the non-rebreathers where we can actually pump it without actually blowing in their mouth. We actually use like a bellow, and
I'm going to go home and gag now. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Just remember, you want to push, not blow. You never want to be the blower. One of these nights, maybe we'll get Michelle on here. Michelle's a nurse. She's had quite a few of the stories about that, like in the hospital with people seeing relatives. Like, I just saw my uncle so-and-so, or my dad was here. And it's like, where's your dad? Oh, he died like 40 years ago. It's like,
My mom was a nurse, and she was working in before her death, she was working in a convalescent type of situation. And she came home, I don't know if I told you this or not before, but she was working one evening, and she came home, she was quite shaken. And my mom was a nurse for like 30 years, and she's seen everything. And I said, what's the matter? She goes, well, so-and-so, I can't remember the lady's name, passed away today, she was an elderly lady. And before she passed away, she was in a room with her, and she says to her, she says,
there's the seal.
She says, oh, Mrs. So-and-so, she says, what are you smiling? She says, what are you smiling for? What do you see? She goes, oh, my dear, you don't see the angels at the foot of my bed.
That happens quite frequently. I've read a lot about that right before their travel over to the other side.
Yeah.
Relatives come and bring them there.
The veil becomes very thin, and you can pretty much see.
I don't have personal experiences with that. I have a lot of experiences or stories from, like, family members where another family member or a friend, close friend, at the moment that they passed, they would actually appear at the foot of their bed.
Mm-hmm.
My mom had this happen actually twice in her life.
Mm-hmm.
A close family friend who died at a young age from leukemia. She couldn't say that it was definitely him, but she said she woke up in the middle of the night, and at the end of her bed was this glowing figure, and then it just disappeared. The time that he had passed was about the time that she woke up. The same thing happened when my grandfather passed. is she had another experience with that. And along with that, my mother wasn't the only one when the male friend passed. It was actually a house up the street who was also a friend of ours, who was a fellow acquaintance of this young man, actually woke up and felt someone pushing at him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my experience with that kind of thing. It's not somebody helping them along. It was more of somebody who's still alive, and they're just kind of letting them know that they're gone.
See, here's my argument now. This is what I'd meant by that. Your family's not lying to you. So why aren't we trying to prove what your family's saying? See what I'm saying? How do you debunk that? I know they could debunk it. Well, when people are dying, they release crap in their brain and blah, 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 blah. But these are probably people in your family that don't lie. I mean, I had one, my grandmother never, as far as I know, lied. And she told us one story about a relative, and it's like, that's pretty out there, even in the world of the paranormal. Her story's out there, but she never lied about that or talked about it. So why would I try debunking her story? You know what I mean? Well, okay, I'll get off that tonight.
Well, that situation is a very hard one to debunk or even prove that it actually happened. I mean, you got to think about it. You need someone that's that close to the family, and how are you going to know when they're actually going to show up? They only showed up once, and that was at the point that they passed. So unless you know when somebody's going to die, you know what I'm saying?
There's actually been studies on that. I can't remember what show that was on, that this doctor, I mean, I'm talking like in the 1800s,
yeah,
would get these people that were near death, and he'd put them on beds with scales on them. And at the point of death,
yep,
the when the people at the point of death pass, they actually, the scales actually lost weight. And I don't know how much it was actually.
I think I remember what you're talking about.
But it was
like 0.8 pounds.
Yes, something, yes. Something it was very like minuscule, that. But it did. Your body loses weight. Now, in like the guy in the TV show, what is that? Is that the soul leaving? Is that the weight of your soul? Or what the hell's happening? Because it isn't dead weight actually weigh more?
Well, I wouldn't say dead weight weighs more. The whole thing is, when someone's dead weight, it's usually they're unconscious or they are deceased, and they're not really conscious to help you move them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if someone says, pick me up, they help you jump up on them, you know, all that kind of thing. When they're dead weight, you're picking up the full force of their weight without their assistance. I mean, that's what that is. But the whole thing with those people passing afterwards, I can't give you an answer for that.
Well, God forbid if something happens to me and I'm still on machines, you have my permission to test the fuck away. Do everything you want.
You want me to actually go in there and yank some plugs out and do some stuff?
You want to make sure you got the equipment out, get the cameras rolling, the sausage and poppers, a couple beer, I don't care.
I thought of that, actually. You
just
know,
do that.
When I pass, and if I know I'm going to pass, having the group in there, my friends there, are paranormal people in there, just to see what happens.
Yeah.
I think it would be very interesting, you know, and because, you know me, I'm a joker anyway. I'm going to scare the hell out of somebody.
See, I don't even think I told you this one. I forgot all about this. Mark, Nicole, and David, right after my mom died, we were cleaning through the house. I mean, she had a brain tumor, so pretty much for the last 9 months of her life, she lived on the couch. When she wasn't in the hospital, she had one blanket that she was... But I always remember one, I was with her towards the end there. She's like, I don't know who all these people are in the house. They're scaring me. And I'm like, it's like 9 in the morning. There's nobody in the house. I'm like, there's nobody in the house. But we have that standing rule where we don't do our own house. And I wanted to know, but I thought it morbid and ghoulish to like start breaking equipment out and being like... So I abandoned all that. But like when we were cleaning the house, I'm like, Mark, Nicole, and David came over, and I'll never forget it. They went right to the couch with the K2 meter, and the K2 meter went red as soon as it hit the blanket. And I'm like,
wow.
And they didn't want to call me over there, and David's like, Pete, come over here. And we're like, and all right, I debunked it. I'm like, well, maybe it's because of the plugs behind the couch. Let's pull the couch off the thing. So we took the blanket, brought the blanket in another room. Blanket was still red. And I'm like,
oh. Wow.
So then they came in and did the investigation. Were you there for the investigation?
No.
You didn't go with Alex and all of them?
For what?
To investigate my house?
No.
They came in and investigated the house. They went downstairs. The only thing left downstairs was a full-finished basement laundry room. There was one coat hanger that was still up on the rack. The coat hanger had a charge. It's like just on the rack. Coat hanger had a charge.
Did the coat
His Mel-meter had a charge to it. The K2 meter was like orange.
Is this the house you grew up in?
No. The last one I was in.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You were there, what? Right?
Yeah, I was, yeah, okay.
With the weird German guy that lived in the basement.
Yep, yeah, yep.
Really? Interesting.
It's like, why is that coat hanger have a charge? It's like, what's going on here?
Is this just some random coat hanger, or was it something special, or no?
Don't know.
Interesting.
I feel sorry for the people who bought it in the foreclosure sale, but we might be getting called back to that one.
What was that house? In Rome?
Mm-hmm.
What street was that on?
I'll tell you later.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to stigmatic.
I keep forgetting we're on the radio.
But yeah, that was... You were there, weren't you?
Yeah, you were. Yep. Yep.
Did you experience the guy down there?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Interesting.
Because I would stay there, set it up like a man cave. I'd be watching TV. I'm like, what the hell is... There's something moving over here. I always kept seeing... Like it had a purpose. It just kept...
See, the house I'm currently living in, there's definitely spirits still there. Excuse me. It's my grandparents' old house. They bought it, I believe, in the 40s. But, I mean, before them, there was only, I think, one other family that owned it. And that's actually the Walker family, who were one of the first settlers in the town of Deerfield, where it is. The house itself is, I believe, it's over 200 years old. I believe it was built in 1789. And, I mean, I have occurrences in the house. I mean, I've seen apparitions in the house. I can hear people walking around, things moving around. I've heard doors shut. I mean, I can investigate it, but what's the point? I've already seen all this stuff and heard all this stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't really need to prove anything.
You don't need to verify it for yourself, right?
Yep. Yeah.
I had some interesting stuff happen today. Brian's not feeling under the weather. I opened the pizzeria. I'm there by myself for the first hour. Open the door, turn on the equipment. So I made a pot of coffee. I'm standing there playing on my phone, drinking coffee, and I hear something over here. Like, it sounds like somebody's walking around. And I thought, oh, one of the employees got here early. There's nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that for a while. So then the employees get there. They flip on the radios. They're getting to work. The radio shuts off. And I'm like, okay. So I go to reach to turn the radio on, and as soon as I get within 2 inches, boom, it comes back on again. I go... Like this, I'm like, okay.
That was today?
That was this morning.
Okay.
Yeah, we have activity there every now and then. Not lately. Now it's starting to come back. Okay. So.
I see you gentlemen keep looking back there. Do you hear it?
I heard something
moving back there.
We'll talk about it after this.
I know Rich says, well, there's people that live upstairs, but it's not upstairs.
No, but that sounds like even steps on these floors.
That's it?
For sale if you want $150.
No. I like this one right here.
Oh, dear. Rich, your office is haunted, just so you know.
I'll do an investigation here some night.
It is a nice office. We're coming to you live from GP Entertainment, your source for college entertainment. You should be doing it, Steve. You got
GP
it. Give him a good commercial.
Your source for college entertainment right here in Whitesboro. What's the address, Pete?
Main Street.
101, isn't it?
Yes, 101.
101 Main Street.
For all your entertainment needs, it's GP. Contact Rich Nicodem at his phone number. I don't have your card in front of me, Rich. Sorry, but
they got comedians, magicians, public speakers. They got the paranormal cousins, which are really good. Photographers.
Who are those paranormal cousins? I've heard about them guys.
I don't know, but we got to come up with a better shtick. How about four angry paranormal investigators?
Well, that's something, yeah.
Hey, oh, come freaking touch me, ghost. Freaking touch it right here. Touch it. I can't believe you just touched it. Who do you think you are? So we got about 5 minutes.
Left.
Oh, let me give a plug. February, if you got the itching bug and you're in central New York, you want to investigate, we're going to be at the Rome Historical Society on February 6th. It's a Saturday, 3:30 to 8 p.m. You're getting a lecture by us, which in itself is entertaining. You're getting food from Ballister's Cafe in Rome. And then you get to investigate for a good solid 2.5 hours.
Nice.
Wow. And I was told today not to upset what's there.
Ooh.
And I'm not talking about the social media thing that I messed up. I'm talking about
something. So even the people that are there, the they know there's something there. Then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you figure you have a collection of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
One of the stories we'll tell people there, and it's actually not a story, it's a true story, that there were actually Onondaga Indian remains that were in the building right up until the 1980s, that they had to actually bring them back to the tribe. Nobody in the tribe wanted them for decades, and then they had to follow a specific procedure, and it was like a weird thing. They had to bring it up like on a Saturday night at midnight. It had to be specifically at midnight, and they did their ceremony and all this. But those bones were there for years, and I wouldn't be surprised if that and any of the other Indian stuff that's there, the Revolutionary War stuff, or just 200 years of that's crap in general.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never investigated it, so who knows what you're in line for? Maybe nothing, probably nothing, maybe something. Steve's going to be there.
Is this the first time it's actually
Ladies,
been investigated?
Steve is going to be there.
So stay away.
No. No, actually,
that didn't sound good, did it?
Actually, it's one of these locations that were soured by a local group a few years ago, not the one you're thinking of. They're still around and doing many public events.
Mm.
But they were asked specifically not to go into a certain area of the society. Not only did they go into that area of the society, they actually were making fun of the director, which they ended up putting on YouTube of them making fun of the director.
Smart.
So you can imagine how well that went over.
That's a problem with a lot of these. A lot of
tell us we can't go here.
You know, it poisons the well, so to speak, for the groups that are really trying to work hard at doing what we do to be serious, and then you get some group that's just wants to clown around and perceives to be serious, and then ruins it. Like I said, poisons the well for us all.
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate.
Yes, it is.
And then we're working on a ton of other stuff.
Tons.
Nicole booked us for Salem Con, which is in April.
9th and 10th? April 9th and 10th, Salem Con?
Yes.
Thank you for reminding me. I got to book my room.
John Zaffis will be there. The great John Zaffis. I guess the Jason Hawes will be there too.
And his daughter, I think, yeah.
John Zaffis will be there, so.
John Zaffis will be there.
Oh, please forgive us. We almost killed him last year.
at this same event, right?
Yeah, we took him out for dinner, bought him a hamburger, and then he had his little medical problem like the next day, and it's like I sort of feel guilty.
This year we'll buy him a salad.
1 minute left.
I'll eat that salad with him. I ended up almost crapping out a month later. So.
Oh, is that when you got your pancreas attack? Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
What goes around comes around.
I'm not going to Salem Con.
Oh, yes, you are.
I've had enough of pancreas attacks and stuff. So,
so bring us out, good sir. We got 30 seconds.
All right. This has been another episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Remember, in 2 weeks, we will be right back here with you. And until then, my name is Steve.
I'm Nicole.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm social media violator Peter Leonard.
Rebel. Rebel Leonard.
Everybody, you have a good night and stay spooky.
But I'm not Australian. Should I come in like a wrecking ball? Okay, so Nicole gets the pitch perfect too, Rebel.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.